5 minutes after 1 o'clock. Welcome back to the show. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA. Dixon responding to my wonderment about the Broncos being given the sixth best odds going into the Super Bowl next year, to win the Super Bowl next year. He said they probably just know Mr. Thursday Night is going to pick them to finish 11-5. Sorry, 12-5. I think I said 11. I said 10-11. I said 10-11 games. 10 wins is what I said. Maybe 9, maybe more or less. If you round down, it's like 8. Then you find your way to 7. he said, Chris Brady, will Chief Dixon name his next dog Vaughn? He might be. He might do that. He might just do that now that he's not a Bronco anymore. I'd like to see Von Miller back, wouldn't you? Do you think he'll be back with the Broncos next year? Going to be a free agent, kind of leaning toward talking like he wants to be a free agent. Does that mean he wants to be a free agent so he can make a decision to return to Denver, play out the next couple of years, and then retire a Bronco? That's what Shannon Sharpe did. Shannon Sharpe won. Had most of his Hall of Fame career with the Broncos, and then he went and won 2 Super Bowls with Denver toward the end. He went to Baltimore during that Ray Lewis era. The Ray Lewis defense was amazing those years, and he went in with Trent Dilfer, and he got a Super Bowl, played 2 years with Baltimore, put up decent numbers, and then came back for 2 more years with the Broncos, and they found a way. At least to put up some decent numbers in those last couple seasons. And, you know, I had some people say, well, Vaughn's not going to come back to Denver unless the quarterback situation's figured out. I mean, Sharp came back, and it was Brian Greasy, I believe. Wasn't it Brian Greasy throwing him? I was at, speaking of Chief Dixon there, I was at Arrowhead Stadium when Brian Greasy and Shannon Sharp went off on that game. I was there. It was the only other NFL stadium I've been to outside of the Broncos stadiums. And it was a blast, by the way. The tailgating scene there is phenomenal. I did wear my Broncos beanie in there. People were cool. Smelled wonderful. You could just smell the tailgating, the barbecue, all the food. You could smell it from like miles away. It was crazy. That was years ago. I think I was still in high school, maybe a freshman in high school. But I could see a scenario where Vaughn comes back, makes a deal. You know, he's not going to be playing for the big-time millions anymore. That's not where he is anymore. But he has some cool things. Like, he's tied the Super Bowl sack record now. So it's astonishing. And not many guys get to that many Super Bowls. And Von Miller, our guy. You know, I think Broncos country yesterday felt kind of collectively about this, that our guy went to another Super Bowl. Good for him. Now come back. You went and got your trophy. He damn near won MVP. I mean, he was top 3 or 4 to win that thing. It's Cooper Kupp, obviously. Then Aaron Donald, I would say, next. Vaughn was not that far away. Looked like Odell Beckham Jr. was going to be the guy for a moment. But then he ended up getting hurt. And then in that fourth quarter, especially that final drive, or in that final drive, it was the Matt Stafford and Cooper Kupp show. I mean, everybody knew who was going to get the football. They knew Cooper was going to get the ball. They couldn't stop it. It was absolutely crazy. Now, though, you got Donald talking about retirement. Or he's not willing to commit one way or the other at this stage. Andrew Whitworth, who sure sounds like he's done, right? He said, you know, hey, I don't have to be the oldest player anymore after a week. That'll be done. And then the surprise, Sean McVay. Him talking, even leading up to the Super Bowl, that, hey, he just kind of wants to be a family man and work on that and dedicate himself to that, but also a broadcast career. And again, you can work a lot of hours and be a broadcaster and put in a lot so you can have the right information, but it's nothing like the hours that you're seeing from an NFL head coach. I mean, everything we hear about these guys is they pretty much, it's every day, all day. And they're at the facility all the time. And some guys and families are built like that. Some families are built to, You know, the mom is there with the children, the wife's there with the children, taking care of them, dealing with that, and that's their lifestyle, and that's worked for them, or maybe they have nannies and stuff. I don't know, but these guys are making a lot of money, so it's easy. They can make their decisions. But then there's some guys that look at it differently and say, you know, I'd love to be able to be around my kids when they're babies all the time. You know, it's not to say that you know, the Bill Belichicks of the world didn't see their kids. It's just, you didn't see them as much. You know, like, people listening to this show, me, we're, for the most part, we got our work hours. And then after work, we go home and we spend a few hours with our families. That's not the same lifestyle with these coaches. Especially good ones. Because they know their stuff. This game is ever-changing. And if you want to win a Super Bowl, A lot goes into coaching. I mean, we talk about quarterbacks being the most important position. I'm going to tell you this. One thing I've learned over the years now, quarterback's still very important in the big games. I think the quarterback's the most important position, like, from the regular season and then depending on how a game goes. But I'm telling you right now, I think the head coach, this is where they earn their money. You know, when you get into the playoffs, when teams make adjustments, you have to adjust back. When you can do that, I truly think that that's where a great head coach comes in, being able to do that. And I thought Sean McVay did that. You know, they sat down. Obviously, the second half did not start the way they wanted it to, but something clicked on the defensive side of the ball for Los Angeles, and they were able to really exploit that terrible offensive line. The Bengals were holding up in the first half. Couldn't do it in the second half, though. Matt's, you know, again, that move looked great. They traded a lot for Matt Stafford. People joke, Sean McVay doesn't care about draft picks. Well, not now. They were definitely going all in. They looked at it and said, we love our draft picks. We love what we've done in the past. We love what we've built. You know, the Higbees of the world and the Aaron Donalds of the world. But we want to also add some free agents. They trades, you know, adding Jalen Ramsey to the mix, Von Miller to the mix, Leonard Floyd to the mix. They also had some linebackers on that roster and some and another free safety that was theirs. You know, they grew some of those. So they had a healthy mix of free agency, of trades, and the draft. Again, the MVP was a third-round pick by the Rams. The second runner-up, or the first runner-up for MVP, was a first-rounder by the Rams. So you do have to have that healthy balance. And again, like I started the show, making that comparison for Denver, that healthy balance would not be struck, I'm afraid, at least in the next 3 years. Now, let me tell you this. If I really thought Denver was a quarterback away, like the Rams with Jared Goff were a playoff team. They'd been to the Super Bowl with Goff. So that's why it's funny when you say, well, the Rams, look what the Rams did. They spent a lot of money and draft picks on Matt Stafford. They went to a Super Bowl, though. They already did with Jared Goff. So you can't tell me that it's all about the quarterback move that they made. Sometimes it's not always the sexy quarterback that wins. Tom Brady is the difference on that one, right? He's the exception to the rule. But outside of that, you don't see the greatest quarterbacks win a lot of Super Bowls, do you? Rodgers has one. Drew Brees has one. Peyton Manning has two. John Elway has two. Brett Favre has one. I mean, we're talking about these great, great, sensational quarterbacks and how good they are. And they are good, but you got to have a great quarterback to get you to the best seeding available in the playoffs. And you got to have them perform well. I get that. But rarely we don't see quarterbacks just throwing out gigantic numbers on Super Bowl Sunday. It is about your coaching staff. It is about, you know, the supporting staff. Stafford didn't have like an amazing game. He had two picks. One pick probably wasn't his fault. But it wasn't like he was just absolutely gunning it, throwing it all over the field out there, man. Once Beckham goes down, you're wondering. And Kupp wasn't really involved until really that final drive. If you just look at some of these scores over the years. You know, 23-20. And the last year was 31-9. Tampa Bay runs away with that one. Kansas City won theirs 31-20. New England, the year before that, 13-3 over the Rams. I mean, a lot of times you don't see these big, you'll see some 41-33 type games, sure. But you're going to see the low scoring games sometimes. The Well County Swami says that's because they're always beating each other in the championship games. Yes and no. I mean, was Tom Brady better than Patrick Mahomes last year? I don't think so. But the better team won the Super Bowl. You know, just when you look around and the past winners, I'm looking at, okay, Kansas City, yes, Patrick Mahomes, and then Tom Brady and company beat Jared Goff, which again, if you're saying he's one of the greatest. Pillow Fight Dan says, are you making the argument you don't need an elite quarterback to win a Super Bowl? I think I am. Because if his name's not Tom Brady, how many elite quarterbacks are winning? Let's do this. Let's go through it. Is Matt Stafford elite? How elite is he? Seriously, is he elite? The Well County Swami says, great quarterbacks get you there. Supporting cast gets you over the top. Well, that's why you have to have draft picks to create a supporting cast. Because you don't have a supporting cast if you go all in on a quarterback and you don't spend time figuring out how to do draft players, how to get free agents that can make sense of within your salary cap. So Tom Brady is, you push him aside, that's different. That guy's historic. How about you go to 2018? Nick Foles? He elite? Peyton Manning when they won in 2016. I mean, Peyton Manning's brain was elite, but was his quarterback ability that year elite? No. Baltimore, Joe Flacco, Eli Manning. I mean, there are, yes, some of these guys, they're rare form here. I mean, you go back to all the way back to 2004. It was pretty much Tom Brady, Ben Roethlisberger, Peyton Manning, Eli Manning, Ben Roethlisberger, Drew Brees, Aaron Rodgers, Eli Manning, Joe Flacco, Russell Wilson, Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, Nick Foles, Tom Brady, Patrick Mahomes, Tom Brady, and Matt Stafford. So unless your name's Tom Brady or Peyton Manning, there's not always a lot of these elite quarterbacks in the mix. That's all I'm saying. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Pillify Dan, Matt Stafford is elite. He's just been in Detroit. Barry Sanders and Calvin Johnson say hello. You're saying if Matt Stafford's elite, so he's in Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, Aaron Rodgers territory? Because you can't say elite one and elite two. It's the Hall of Fame thing over here. Is Matt Stafford elite? No. The answer is no. He is not elite. How many picks did he throw this year? He's not elite. Dixon, Stafford has always been thought of an elite talent. He was just in a bad spot in Detroit. I think he's a great quarterback. I just don't think he's elite. Well, County Swami, almost every one of those guys you mentioned are Hall of Famers. Peyton Manning and Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers, because Ben shouldn't be. Eli shouldn't be. But you can't have your cake and eat it too, is what I'm telling you. Tom Brady was rare. He also took a pay cut. He also was never like the top five paid guy when he was at New England. You want to pay Rodgers $30+ million, $35 million, and then Devontae Adams, $30 million, then that supporting cast you're speaking of, Well County Swami, doesn't exist because you're done. All that move you have in the salary cap is gone. And even if you just bring Rodgers in, most of it's gone. So you want to say supporting cast. Is the supporting cast there for the Broncos right now? Do they have an Aaron Donald or a Cooper Kupp on this team? Do the Broncos have an Aaron Donald or a Cooper Kupp on this team? If the answer is yes in your mind, you need to have a long talk with yourself. Yes, with yourself. Because nobody's going to listen to you. Well, Kenny Swami says that's where everybody else takes pay cuts so they can play alongside somebody like that. in a perfect world, but Tom Brady was the opposite. He took the pay cuts so that he could get more of a team. Pillow Fight Danny just led his team to the Super Bowl. How do you get elite-er than that? I don't know. Joe Flacco would like to ask you the same question. Nick Foles is on the line as well. They're saying, hey, if that's what it takes, we're elite. Cool. Neato. I'm not saying, listen, trust me, I'm not saying Matt Stafford is in Joe Flacco territory or Nick Foles territory, but he's not in Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, and maybe Josh Allen's too unfair. Patrick Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers territory. He's not in that territory yet. Could Stafford get there? I mean, I think he's just a really good quarterback. He has a lot of numbers. 41 touchdowns in the regular season, but 17 picks. He had a 63.8 QBR. So I just... There is a stage of quarterbacks, and I don't think Matt Stafford is elite. Yes, JD.
I see the Weld County Swami. Or who was it?
Pillow Fight Dan?
Oh, no. It was Swami. He's saying that they were playing at elite levels, not elite players. But that's, if you can't argue that they're like elite players just because they're playing at an elite time. Like I think that's where we're going. Is like it takes more than just one player to make a Super Bowl caliber team. You're going to have a supporting cast, like we've been talking about.
And you can't do that if you trade 3 first round picks and a second round pick and a third round pick for a guy like Aaron Rodgers. I don't think you can have that supporting cast. At least for the next 5 years.
Tough. You're going to have players step up. And I mean, we saw. There was players on the Rams that stepped up. I mean, Tyler Higbee had an incredible year. Yeah. I mean, obviously overshadowed, but you had players on the defensive side that stepped up too.
Yeah, listen, I mean, look at the Rams roster, guys. Look at the Rams roster. And I know we got a break here soon for Jerry, my man Schimmel, but he'll appreciate this argument. Look at the Rams roster and tell me that the Broncos have anything like that if they were to get Matt Stafford. Okay. Now they have Odell Beckham Jr. Okay, but still, Odell was playing at a high level once he got to the Rams. Cooper Kupp, the best receiver in the game. Pretty good offensive line, would you say? I would say, for the most part, pretty good offensive line. On the defensive side of the ball, Jalen Ramsey, arguably the best cornerback in the game. Von Miller now. Still capable of doing some amazing things. Is he elite now? Probably not to where he was, Super Bowl 50. Leonard Floyd, damn good linebacker. Aaron Donald, the best in the game. A'shaun Robinson, you cannot run the ball when he's in the game, as you witnessed during the Super Bowl. Do the Broncos have a Jalen Ramsey, Von Miller. Let's just say Jalen Ramsey, Leonard Floyd, Aaron Donald, A'shaun Robinson. Do they have those guys? Is Patrick Surtain already Jalen Ramsey? No. Could he be? I actually think he will be better than Ramsey someday, but he's not there now. Do the Broncos have an Aaron Donald? No. They don't have a lot of these guys. They don't have a Cooper Kupp. So the idea that you're going to, let's just trade away all of our draft picks and plant Rodgers with this group, that's not the Rams. That free agency thing is not going to work. See, well, Kenny Swami, you can't play both sides. You can't say, he said they went out and got Vaughn, OBJ, Jalen Ramsey, and Stafford. If they don't get them to come alongside the supporting cast, they don't win anything. Then how did they go to a Super Bowl 3 years ago? And again, this whole thing's breaking up. Yeah, I mean, you're not going to be able to afford this for very long, and you better hope you win it now. 25 minutes after the hour, we'll stay on this after we talk to Jerry. We'll get Jerry Schimmel, the voice of the UNC Bears, on. Probably talk a little Denver Nuggets as well. Don't go anywhere. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1, 1310 KFKA.
Ah! Unwind with a good afternoon guy, Brian Gary. Weekdays at 3 p.m. on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Jerry Schimmel, voice of the UNC Bears and host of Amazing Americans. And you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Minutes after the 1 o'clock hour, welcome back in to The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFK. Jerry, I would never forget about you, my friend. Jaden made us go way too long in that last segment, so I blame him 100%.
Well, shoot, that explains it. He messes up all the time, so I got you.
Jerry, my friend, big one tonight, Valentine's Day. So I'll be curious to see how many couples are in the stands going to this one. But Southern Utah, I believe the Bears are actually a one-point favorite in this game. The Bears did beat Southern Utah on the road, which snapped, I think, correct me if it was, an 18-20 game home win streak for Southern Utah. So
yep.
The Bears found a way to get that one done, 91-81. What do you see? What do you see is going to happen tonight?
Oh, I see a great game. I really do. I think it's going to probably be one of those that's going to come down the wire. You know, Southern Utah's lost, I think, three in the conference. They were picked to win the conference by everybody. And I think they're probably surprising to people by not being at the top, but they're still really talented. They have nine seniors on their roster, Brady. They're senior-led. They're experienced. They're the highest-scoring team in the league. Bears are right up there with them scoring, but I just see a tremendous game tonight and hopefully a fourth consecutive win for the Bears.
Yeah, it'd be huge too, because they need to stay in that top five. I know that's the number one goal. You want to get that first round bye in the Big Sky Conference tournament. They're sitting pretty good at that fifth spot, sitting at 8-4, Eastern Washington 7-7 in the conference. So a ways to go for anybody to catch them. But I know the Bears are thinking bigger than that. They're trying to see if they can jump up and move past some of these teams. It's getting tight. I mean, Montana's 10-5. Weber State's 11-4. The Bears still have a shot to at least move up, maybe number three, number two. Hey, who knows? Maybe even number one.
Yep. That's not out of the realm of possibility, too. And it got Montana State, I think it's won 12 in a row now overall. So, yeah, it's going to be a fight, no question about it, for the top four spaces, I think, and when you go into that tournament. And the Bears certainly have a great shot at doing that, you know, especially top five. And they're sitting pretty good in that regard right now. But there's still, you know, 3.5 weeks of basketball left, a lot of games put into a short amount of time. So anything can happen, we know that. Bears have not played great at home at times this year, so maybe tonight they can kind of change their luck. And well, if they beat the Southern Utah team, it'd be a really, really big win tonight.
We're talking to Jerry Schimmel, the voice of the UNC Bears, and yeah, you said it. There's a lot of big games coming up, and you're right. They haven't been great at home. I guess the good thing is you look down the road. They're on the road at Weber State, which is a very, very, very hard place for them to play. Montana and Montana State down the road. So if you want to look at it that way, at least they're on the road in those games. This team's suddenly kind of been known as a road warrior.
It's interesting. Normally you'd think, all right, got the advantage at home. But what, to even think about the idea that you're a better team on the road than you are at home is really going against college basketball gods. So, but that's the way this team has been this year. And they've been good on the road. It just, I think, let up at times at home, Brady, thinking they could, because they're on their home court and they're talented and they're senior-led and all that, they can kind of go through the motions and beat anybody at home. Well, we found that is not to be the case. Weber State beat them, Sacramento State. You know, they lost some almost shocking games at home to teams that they're better than. So, I think they learned that lesson. The last couple home games have been terrific. They played really well. Portland State was the exception, but then they came back and played really well against Northern Arizona, and they got the great road win the other night. So it's a team that I think, and I've said this all along this year, said this to Tanner the other day on Friday too, they're as talented as anybody in the league. I don't think there's any question about that. 1 through 6 anyway, they're as talented as anybody in the Big Sky. They're not deep, but maybe you don't have to be to get in that tournament in the right spot and win that tournament.
Talking to Jerry Schimmel, the voice of the UNC Bears. Last time out, we see this team just absolutely work Sacramento State 79-61, which was nice to see because before that was their first conference loss of the season was to the Hornets. So it was nice to see the Bears get some revenge there. And surprise, surprise, Dalen Kuntz gets close to 30 yet again. He had 27 in that game.
Yeah, he's terrific. I think that's seven straight games with at least 20 points now, leading the Big Sky in scoring. And, Brady, the way he's doing it, I think, is so impressive. You can see the talent, and you can see a 20-per-night scorer. But just the way he's doing it, being efficient, I think he's third or fourth in the league in field goal percentage, which for a two-guard or a small forward is pretty impressive. He's a great foul shooter. He's an assist guy. He doesn't get into foul trouble. I think he's really matured in this game. So lets the game come to him, I think, more than he did last year. No question about that. Lets the game come to him. But just doing it kind of quietly and efficiently at the same time helping his team win games.
Yeah, and that's all you can ask for. And, again, he just seems like he does something a little bit better every single night. I thought Kuhr was really good. Kuhr Jankuch was really good, too, with 14 points and 10 rebounds. Some games he kind of can disappear, especially on the scoring side. But when he produces like that, man, you're going to be able to do some things.
No question about it. And you know, even when he doesn't score, if he can just block a shot or two and get the rebounds, there's plenty of other scoring on this team. So there are teammates who can take care of that. But he's a little shy in the low post sometimes. He's a little, not confident in getting that shot off sometimes. And he kicks the ball out at times when he probably should take that high percentage shot in low post. But he's a terrific player. And I think he maybe had his best game of the year last time. You make a good point. When they played at Sacramento State, he had 14 rebounds and has double-double, which I think was the seventh one this year. But just always in the right spot defensively and always seemed to get that rebound when the team really needed it, ignited a fast break, and off they went to that easy win at Sacramento State.
Yeah, well, we'll see if they can do more of the same tonight. A big one. They really need to get this one, and hopefully the crowd shows out for this one. They get going at Bank of Colorado Arena. Should be a lot of fun, but as you said, man, it's going to be a crazy finish in this Big Sky Conference.
It is. It's working up to be that way, isn't it? Which I think is going to be fun. That's what we all hope for. And I think Montana State is, you know, winning, I think, 12 or 13 in a row now. It's vulnerable. They got beat by the Bears in Greeley, so they're certainly vulnerable. So I'm looking forward to that trip coming up where it's Montana and Montana State. They call that the Montana Gauntlet, but I think the Bears are going to be up for that one. I think they're going to be fired up to play a team that it's hot like that, slow them down, just like they did with Southern Utah back in January. You know, they went in there, won by 10. I think it won wire to wire, never lost, didn't lead in that game, so never trailed in that game. So I think they're looking forward to playing in those big games and see if they can maybe win a regular season championship and certainly a conference championship.
Jerry, I get this question, and you can answer this one easier than I can. People ask me all the time, how good can this Bears team be? How far can they go? And I always just say, hey, listen, it's as easy as this. If they're shooting like they are capable of, they can beat pretty much anybody. If that falters a little bit, they're going to struggle.
Yep, no question about it. And they kind of live and die with that three-pointer. And I think the game at home against Sacramento State, it was such a disappointing loss. I think they were 5 for 25, something like that. And I think what happens to Brady is when they don't shoot well early in the ball game, they get down themselves a little bit. They start playing differently, and they kind of lose that confidence level. So, yeah, I think you're right. This team will go as far as their shooting takes them. I'll keep this one in mind, too. You know, if they make the tournament, they would be a dangerous team. I mean, they outscored Texas by 9 points in the second half in a game in Austin when Texas is ranked number 5 in the country at that point. Played well against Arizona for 3/4 of that game. So yeah, they're certainly a team capable of winning that conference tournament and maybe knocking off somebody once they get in the big dance.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to this call tonight from you, my friend. Cannot wait. I've kind of had this one circled because I knew it was a big win against Southern Utah, but my guess is Southern Utah is coming back. They've got revenge on their minds as well. So you're right. I think this is going to be a good one.
Yep. You know, they stopped that home winning streak, like you said. I think it had been 630 some days since they had lost a home game, and the Bears go in there and beat them. So I'm thinking they're thinking revenge, but I think the Bears would be up for that. That's why I think it's going to be a terrific game. Should be a high-scoring game, and we'll see who wins it at the end.
I can't wait. Jerry, ready to rock. What time does everything get rolling for you tonight for the pregame show?
5:30 Mountain Time. Mountain Time. Don't forget that, okay? We're in the Mountain Time zone.
I thought the Super Bowl was going to be at 6:30 last night forever. I was like, where am I? When does this thing start? But what'd you think of the halftime show, Jerry? I know you and I are both big hip-hop guys.
Yeah, right. Well, my kids thought it was great. My son and daughter and son-in-law thought it was terrific, so I thought it was too. I asked about halfway through, are they going to play any contemporary Christian music? And no, Dad, that's not a halftime show. So no, all the reviews are really good. The game itself was terrific. So I had a lot of fun yesterday watching that thing.
Yeah, I don't know if old 50 Cent is playing any Christian music there. Maybe so. Who knows? Jerry, appreciate you as always, man. Love listening to you. We'll be listening tonight on my way home to the pregame show.
Sounds good, Brady. Thanks for having me.
All right, man. Jerry Schimmel, the voice of the UNC Bears. 40 minutes after the hour, we've got to take a short break here. I want to finish up this discussion about the Broncos and Matt Stafford. It's fun. You guys are getting into it. We'll talk about it next. First, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
Hey, everybody. This is former CSU running back Kyle Bell, and you are listening to my main man, Brady Hull, on the Hull Show. Do not turn your dial. Keep it right here.
Minutes after the hour. Welcome back into the whole show powered by PDC Energy. Shout out to Rev Chiropractic. They're off of Highway 34 and 35th Avenue. There's a Home Depot there. They're my chiropractor. That's where I've been going every single week for a year. And my back pain is pretty much all, it's gone. I mean, maybe I occasionally sleep wrong and I wake up and I'm a little stiff. Boom, I go in, take care of me, and it's back to feeling fantastic thanks to Rev Chiropractic. Pillow Fight Dan says, would you trade Lynch, Bowles, Chubb, Lynch? You got to mean Drew Lock, right? Okay, Pillow Fight Dan means Drew Lock. Drew Lock, Bowles, Chubb, Judy, Fant, and Sertan for Rodgers. Everyone, but for, I would not trade Sertan, man. I love that pick. If Peyton was going to go quarterback, he should have went a quarterback at number 9 last year instead of drafting Patrick Sertan. So I would say no. Throw another guy in there. Sutton? I would do that. I don't know. Okay. I don't know that the Broncos have that many players that are going to be worthwhile of getting a guy like Rodgers. Now, look at this. Now, you guys want to talk about, well, you just plug in a quarterback like Stafford. Okay, if you put Stafford on the Broncos roster right now, are you a Super Bowl team? You know why not? Because look at the Broncos contracts compared to the Rams contracts. Who are the Rams high-paid guys? Aaron Donald. What's he at? He's at, he's got a lot, right? I mean, he's in the, let's see, according to SpotTrack, is he at 9? That's the base? Well, see, and even SpotTrack says, like, his average salary, and I think it just fluctuates. It's like 22, right? Jalen Ramsey's at 20. Leonard Floyd's at 16, Cooper Kupp's at 15. Is it fair to say those are all elite players? Robert Woods is at 16. Go over to the Broncos contracts of their stars. And again, they have a lot of cap space, so I get that. But then put Matt Stafford on this group. Oh, Garrett Bowles is your highest paid guy. 17, Justin Simmons at 15, Cortland Sutton at 15, Graham's still in there. Tim Patrick's at 11, Ronald Darby. The point I'm trying to make with that is it's not as easy as you guys are making it sound. Plug Matt Stafford in with the Rams, who already have a great team that they have built through the draft like 5 years ago, and then they started building through the draft through free agency and trades. They did both. They found a way to do it with all three strategies: free agency, trades, and the draft. The Broncos have not been able to acquire that many great free agents. And I know that, the quarterback thing is not attractive and all that stuff, but it's not as easy for Denver to just plug in. The Rams truly felt like they were a Matt Stafford away from winning the Super Bowl. They went with Jared Goff not that long ago. So they felt like they could make the next move, and that would be Matt Stafford, which for them it made sense. Matt Stafford, Jared Goff was part of the team that got you to the Super Bowl. Take Jared Goff out, put Matt Stafford in, and conventional wisdom is going to say, yeah, you're probably a much better team. All right, we got to take a break. I got to wrap up the show on the other side. Whole show powered by PDC Energy. I'm glad you guys are chiming in. I like this debate. I know this is an ever-going debate. I will continue this talk about Aaron Rodgers. I do believe in the draft when you have the right guy drafting, and I think George Payton's the guy. Don't take ammunition out of his gun, man. Don't do it. We'll be right back.
Join the legendary broadcaster Jerry Schemmel this season for UNC basketball coverage on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Brian Howell, Colorado Buffalo's beat writer for the Buff Zone, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Seven minutes until the top of the hour here, almost done. Just to wrap up a few thoughts here. Pillify Dan says, because the investment of all those players have made exact zero playoff appearances combined. As far as the Broncos' big contract? Yes, but that's why I'm saying, like, you think trading away, Stafford was going to want the same amount, or Detroit was wanting the same amount, like two first-round picks, and the Rams said, you know what, we're going all in. And now it's starting to seem like Sean McVay was like, hell with it, man. I'm going all in. I'm going to retire. I'm going to go in for a Super Bowl, and then I'm going to retire. Sure seems like it. Sure seems like they were at that point where they liked the base of their team, and they said, we need to add a couple of assets here. Let's get that quarterback over here. They got Ramsey 2 years ago. No, let's make a trade in the middle of the season for Von Miller. Let's get our pass rush going. And let's just make that final push for a Super Bowl. A lot of those moves were not long-term moves. I mean, they traded away draft picks to acquire Von Miller. So they were very much in the, hey, this it's now or never. And especially when you hear Sean McVay and Aaron Donald talk about retirement, it feels even more like it was now or never. This is the shot. You have George Payton here for the long term, man. I mean, he's got 5 years left on the contract, and if he can somehow improve upon last year, if this team can improve upon last year, which I think they do, they're better than seven wins, then he's going to be here longer than that. But I believe that his drafting ability, that's one of the reasons why he was hired. I do believe it. And so far, so good. His draft picks last year, players all contributed. I don't see Rodgers happening. I think you guys need to let that one go. Does that mean that the Russell Wilsons of the world or Kyler Murrays are out of the question? I'm not so sure, but I guess we'll follow along, and we'll see what happens with this Broncos program now that we've head into the offseason with free agency now upon us. It should be fun to see what happens. We'll be back at it on a Tuesday. We got UNC Bears basketball tonight. Good night, Northern Colorado.